things that God's called us to do. And I started out a few weeks ago talking about the fact that we don't have a clue is what was in us before we were saved. Some of that was even carried over into our Christian life. And everything we do, everything we think, everything we say affects our life in some way or another, either positively or negatively. And last time, I talked about the fact that the things that we think and the things that we say particularly builds up little trees in our brain. And these little trees and the limbs and leaves and so on are memories and thoughts and information that we put into our brain. And we talked about last time, if we have things of God, we have green things growing into these little trees in our brain, and we begin to grow and we begin to mature in the Lord and so forth. But if we have continued anger and resentment and bitterness in our life, these little green limbs and leaves turn black and pour into our life things that sometimes cause illness and sometimes cause mental problems and all kinds of things. And so we all have these little trees in our brain. We have enough of these that we could store information for 300,000 years and still not reach full capacity that God has created in our brain. It's absolutely amazing what God has done. And I'm going to talk about some other things today that I think would be encouraging to you, I would hope. But before I start, I want Grace to come. And she's going to share something that I think is important that she learned about this week.
So. I read some. I don't think I need. Can you hear me back there? Okay. I read something this week, and I thought it was so beautiful, a picture of the Christian life. Before we meet Christ, we're like an egg inside of a shell. And we keep polishing the shell and making ourselves look good on the outside and doing all the right things and saying all the right things and whatever. But when the Holy Spirit comes like heat upon our shell, many of us, the Christians, crack out of the shell, and now we become who He really designed us to be all that time. He takes that egg and He mixes it with the Holy Spirit. And then we go through the mixing of life, situation after situation after situation. And sometimes the mixing gets really rough, but the more the mixing of Him with us, you don't see the egg anymore because we're mixed with Christ. And that self part of us becomes now something different. It's filled with the Holy Spirit. So the situations of life are mixing us and mixing us and mixing us. But then the hard times come, and it's like a furnace. And He pushes us into the real trials of life, the real hot furnace of the things that we go through, the things we don't understand, the things we are overwhelmed with. But there we are with Him together. And He bakes us, and He bakes us. And when we come out, we're bread. We're bread to feed and nourish other Christians. Some of us are in the cracking stage. Some of us are in the mixing stage. Some of us are in the fire stage. But in the end, He's making something beautiful. He's making nourishment. He's making food for others. And so it's all worth it. It's all worth it. There's an end.
Thank you. So we're all in process yet. God's not through with us. I don't think He'd be through with us even into eternity. And God keeps reminding me that the time on this earth is so short. And that's not a bad thing. That's really a good thing if you're a Christian, because you're going to go on into the kingdom of God and you're going to learn there, and then God's going to prepare us for a new heaven and a new earth, and we have to be prepared for all of these things. He's preparing us now for the kingdom of God. When we get to the kingdom of God, he's going to prepare us for the new heaven and the new earth. And it's a complete process that God takes us through. And you have to realize who you are, how a lot of these things work, how you take in information into your mind. And one of the ways we do that is to repeat things over and over again. And that's why we continue to read the Word. You read, hopefully read the Bible through in a year, and then you start over again. And you read the Bible through the next year, and you start over again. And as all the time you're going through the Word of God, God keeps building these little trees and these memories and this information that we are going to use. This isn't all for now. It's what we're going to use in the kingdom of God as well as eternity. So this process continues on and on and on, and will throughout our entire eternity with Jesus Christ. But don't you know, we have to change to be prepared, to be ready, number one, for the wedding with Christ, to be married to him. And that's extremely important. God's not going to marry somebody. Number one, he doesn't know. And number two, hasn't spent time with. And number three, doesn't have an intimate relationship with. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Would you marry somebody you don't know? I knew a guy that got drunk that did that. He had a long weekend. And when he woke up on Monday morning, he found out he was married. They had, in his stupor, he had flown to Las Vegas over the weekend with this woman and married her, and woke up on Monday morning and didn't even know who he was with and found out he was married to. That's a true story. And that guy's in the ministry today, and he's on Christian television because he got saved. Obviously, that marriage didn't work, you see. But the issue is that God has to prepare us and remake us and refine us in order to be what he wants as a bride, you see. And so in the process of all of this, God is prepared. This was his plan from the very beginning. We always go back in the book of Genesis, the very first verse in the very first chapter, and it says, in the beginning, God. And what that means is, in the beginning, God, he just didn't throw a bunch of things together and voila, man appears. It wasn't that kind of a thing. He had a definite plan from the very beginning. He's going to have a plan at the end. And God knows exactly what he's doing at all times. We just need to respond to it. And the more you respond to God, the more you're going to be prepared and the more you're going to be ready. I don't really believe God's going to ask you what you did for a living in this life. And yet that's what we many times concentrate on fully. I've noticed that some people give anything for a career. They just really give up their life for a career. And when they get to the end of their life, what are they going to have? Not much. Because the issue never was how successful we were in the world or how successful we were in the job. It's how successful we are in Christ. That's the issue. That's what this life is all about. God doesn't care if you're a millionaire at the end of your life. It doesn't make any difference. It's if you're a millionaire during your life, it's important how you use it. But the issue is, that's not going to help much when you get to the end. When you get to the end, it's just going to be a matter of evaluation. And you're going to get a grade at the end. Everybody's going to get a grade. For your circumstances, for your life, for how you responded to Christ in your life, there's going to be this life is a test. That's all it is. It's a training ground for the next life. Don't get too excited about it. Get excited about what God's going to do when he comes. Get excited about what God's going to do for eternity, because this life is a pencil point compared to eternity. But it is extremely important what you do with that pencil point, because that's going to determine where you're going to be in eternity. So that's some of the things I'm talking about, and I'm going to talk a little bit about what has God made when he made us, and what's the value of the whole thing. Value many times is determined by something on as to how complex it is or how large it is. It depends on what it is to determine value. A book is usually more valuable than a card that you send to somebody. If you sent a book, the book would be more valuable. If you had a full-color painting, it's usually more valuable than just a sketch in black and white. God made some very interesting things. God is the greatest artist of all times. God created the stars. He created the planets. He created the mountains. He created the seas. He created the trees. He created the animals, and none of it is as valuable as you are. How many actually believe that in their heart? We might know that, but we may not know that, if you understand what I'm saying. So I'm trying to get you to know it inside, because every bit of the way in preparing to be with Christ, and I know he's in you, in a sense you're with him, but there's still we're going to be with him physically, not only spiritually, in the future. And so what God says, you are more valuable than anything else he has created, regardless of what it is. And you're certainly more valuable than Miss America or anybody else if they don't know the Lord. You have to understand that. God said so. Let's look in Genesis chapter 1. You say, well, we've been through this before. Yes. But do you have it in your heart? Do you know it? Do you believe it? Have you accepted this? You see, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. Genesis 1, 27 says, well, let's go to 26. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. I want you to know that this is after he created everything else. Man is not an afterthought. Man is the thought of God. All that other stuff was created for man and for God, for his pleasure, for our enjoyment, you see. And God said, but it's going to be something different about us than there was in all the rest of his creation. And here it is. God said, let us make man in our image. You notice it says our image. That's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why we're spirit, soul, and body. We're a Trinity just like God. There is no other creature, there's no other creation that God created that is anything close to the complexity or the value of you. The Word of God says so. And so, but what I wanted to mention was every step of the information I'm giving you, Satan fights in your mind. Every step of the way, every test you take, everything you go through, Satan will try to make something negative out of it where God wants to make something positive out of it. And so you battle us. Some of you battled to get here today. But probably after you got here, you're glad you came. But it was a battle. It was a battle to get up. It was a battle to do all these things. I can assure you, God's not trying to keep you away. So he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, all the creeping things on the earth. In other words, God's in charge of everything. Now man's going to be in charge of everything on the earth. That's what he said. And then he goes on, he says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And so God took part of that creation. He divided it. He made male and female so they would need each other. And as each other, they come to really be, in a sense, in the image of God. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, every living thing that moves on the earth. So God said, I'm going to create everything, and then I'm going to put somebody in charge. Now, that somebody in charge is you. You can make a decision about anything in life. You're in charge. Nobody else is in charge. You're in charge. God doesn't make us responsible for what other people do. He makes us responsible for what we do, because we're in charge. He's going to come to the boss. That's you. You see, when he evaluates everything. Now let's look in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. This is very important. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. What is the most important part of you outside of God being in your spirit is your soul. Now, this is what grace was talking about. The most important part of us is certainly not our body. You are not your body. You are your soul. And so what I am teaching you is how to take care of, how to understand the soul that God has put in you. Part of that soul is your mind, and but the brain actually is part of your body, which is interesting enough. But the point here is, God said, he formed the body out of the ground, and it's going to go back there. That wasn't the important thing. God had to have a house for your soul, and that's your body. You are your soul. You're not your body. Therefore, you never die, because your soul never dies. The only thing that dies is the body. And you have to understand that. David was talking about his mother-in-law. They thought she was going to die. Well, she wasn't going to die. Her body was going to die. And that's what they see with their eyes. But she is inside of that body. Her soul is her, if I can put it that way. Okay? Now, God put something in you that he now, animals have souls, they tell me. I don't know. But I'll tell you this, animals cannot communicate with God. You can communicate with God. You are the only thing God created that could communicate with him, because we were created like him. We just read that. We're going to make him in our image. Now, I already know the devil's beating on some because they said, boy, your image isn't like God. I understand that. Some are hearing that message. But that's not from God, because your soul came from God. Your life came from God. Who you are came from God. If you want to blame somebody, blame God. A lot of people do. Now, we're talking about the inner man. If you want to call it the inner man, some people call it the inner man, the soul, whatever. Actually, the soul and the spirit can't be divided only by the word of God, according to the Bible, you see. Now, so we are made like God. We're not God. We never will be God, but we're made like God, and we're going to be, if you know him, married to God, if you follow him in this life. You see. And you say, well, we're talking about spiritual things, and that's exactly correct. Our marriage is really going to be on a spiritual basis in heaven. We're going to come together with Jesus Christ spiritually. Just like if you're married, you come together with your husband or wife physically in this life. So when we stand before God and we're married to Him, there will be a coming together spiritually between you and God. It's very interesting. Now, Satan tries to attack every principle of God in your life, if you let him. Now, he's going to attack us every bit of information we get from God. Satan will probably will try to make something negative out of it. He'll try to get you to think, I'm not worthy. He'll try to get you to think, I'm not worth anything, because somebody probably told you that somewhere along the line. There probably isn't anybody here that hasn't been told by somebody that they're not worth anything. Now, you can believe that, or you can believe what the Bible says. We are created in the image of God. Therefore, God's plan is that we would be like God on this earth and then be married to God in heaven. That's the plan. It's always been the plan. The marriage on earth, if you are married, is only a picture of what's going to take place in heaven. You understand? That's why you need to work at your marriage and make sure it's godlike. You see. Now, anybody can start at any point and begin to turn things around when it wasn't godlike, you understand. Now, what we are is designed to reflect God's image to the world. What we are is designed to reflect God's image to the world. In other words, we are like a mirror who is concentrated on God, and His reflection hits us and goes out to the world. That's the way God designed us. Now, you can't do that if you go hide in a hole someplace. I'm sorry, you can't do that. You have to be around people. You have to be involved with people. How are you going to be an influence for God around people if you're not around people? It's impossible. So, what we need to do, we're supposed to be that reflection of God. There should be just mirrors all over the place. God should just be reflected all over when we're around, you see. I would say Jim was a reflection of God in the hospital because he prayed for that guy and they say he was going to die and he's up combing his hair. You see, that's it. Not everybody's going to respond. 1 out of 10 is going to think you're crazy. Maybe more. But that doesn't make any difference. They thought Christ was crazy. In fact, they said he was full of demons. And I might say that got him in big trouble. That got them in big trouble, not him. A lot of trouble, in fact. So we are complex. We are very intricate. Put together by God, and our soul is who we are, and it is the most important thing to God. We should take care of our body because we need to be healthy to be mirrors for God on this earth, but the issue is the most important thing is our soul. Now, I want you to repeat after me, and the reason we repeat these things is very simply because that's how we begin to build these beautiful green trees with all the foliage in our brains and minds, and you repeat the things of God. I'm going to read this and then we'll repeat it if you would so desire. I am a magnificent person. Now, I didn't say that. God said that.
That's right. That's right.
And you're not saying that to be smart, and you're not saying that, you know, there's two extremes that God tries to get people on, two tracks that, excuse me, Satan tries to get people on. One of them is pride, and the other one is discouragement. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care which one. We're not saying these things in pride. We're repeating what the Creator said. You see, we're not trying to tell everybody how wonderful we are. We are telling everybody what God says we are. There's a difference. And you must do what we're going to do in order to become what you've been designed for. Okay, let's try it again. I am a magnificent person. I'm made by eternal God in His image and likeness. Everything God made is first rate, but nothing matches my status as a human being because I'm made like Him. I am God's eminent, elite, and supreme, creation. I and every other human being have the potential for fellowship with Him because I am made in His likeness. Now that's what God says. So, if you're not going to repeat what God says about you, you're going to either repeat what you think about yourself or what somebody else said. So that's why it's important, particularly if you can early in the morning, just say some things that God says about you and get yourself in perspective. And it's not we're going to go around and tell everybody how wonderful we are, but we're going to go around and tell people that God's working on us, and He certainly is wonderful.
That's right.
You see. And the reason that most people don't do that, and most people have their mirrors all clouded over, is because they don't take this by faith and believe what God says. It's the only manual that's going to give you the truth about life, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. You see. Now, we are valuable for a lot of reasons, and I'm going to explain why you're valuable. And I'm going to explain why your life matters. And I'm going to explain that it's important what we do with our life because of being this image of God. So we're valuable because of something called supply and demand. Now, if something is in short supply and it's needed, it's usually very valuable. Whatever it is. Gold is more valuable than coal because there's more coal than there is gold. You see, particularly in these days. Diamonds are more valuable than pearls for the same reason. I have a picture at home. It's a picture concerning Christ. And I am told that this picture, because it has a little plate on the back of it, and I don't remember the number, but it says this picture is number 20 out of 50 that was made. And if you have a valuable painting, many times it'll have, I'm not saying this painting's valuable in not worth a whole lot of money, but it's valuable because not very many of these were made. And so it's got a little plaque on the back and said, this is number so-and-so out of so many that were made. And so that makes it valuable. And then if it said it was number 5,000 out of 20,000 made in Taiwan, it wouldn't be too valuable. You got what I mean? Now keep listening to me carefully now. That's why originals are very expensive. I don't know personally, but I understand they are. They're unique. They're one of a kind. If you had a Norman Rockwell painting that's original, it would sell probably six figures or more, could be worth millions, because it's one of a kind. Now, I'm going to tell you what God says about you. You are one out of one. You are an original. There's not one person like you, or ever will be somebody like you in the history of mankind. That's why you're valuable to God. Because you are unique. Your soul is one of a kind. There's not another one on this earth like you. Now, anything that's valuable, you take care of. You're very careful to take care of it. If you had a one-of-a-kind painting in your house, you'd make sure that was kept clean, it was kept in good shape, it wasn't damaged in any way because it's an original. Somebody said after God made you, he broke the mold, and that's absolutely correct. He did. One-of-a-kind. He'll never pour anybody in the same mold as you. You are so unique. There are things you can do that nobody else on this world can do. That's one of the reasons that God said the church is so important. It's so important that the church come together, because there's all of these unique people that have unique gifts that are to be used in the kingdom of God. And if you just come to be a spectator, then you're not going to be using that unique gift that you have, whatever that might be. And besides that, he gives people spiritual gifts. Some of those are the same, some of them are not, but you're still an original. Satan likes to tell people that people can't change. I'm here to tell you, you can. You can change anything in your life, can be changed for good. It's easy to do bad things. It's hard to do good things sometimes. But the fact is, you're number one. In fact, there's never been another like me in the history of mankind. We're going to say this in just a minute. Nor will there ever be. God's never going to create anybody like you, even in eternity, if he does so. Not going to happen. That's why you're special to God. He looks upon your uniqueness in your personality, in the way he created your soul, and all of that. It's all unique to God. In fact, it's exciting to God. I get the picture of Christ in heaven. It is that he wants to come now. He doesn't want to wait. Because he wants to be with you. Can you imagine?
That's right.
But we're not ready yet. We're still here. So that means we're not ready yet. We're in process. He's working on us. He's working on our soul. Let's say this together. There has never been another like me in the history of mankind. Nor will there ever be. I am an original.
I am unique.
And one of a kind.
I am really
somebody to God. Let's say it again. There has never been
another like me
in the history of mankind.
Nor will there ever be.
I am an original. Unique,
one of a kind.
I'm really somebody.
In Christ.
Amen. Now, that's what God thinks about you. Now, If you right now in your mind are thinking anything else, it came from one of two or three places, not from God. Satan, yourself, or somebody you know. Now the issue is, who are you going to believe? Because you will live your life according to what you believe.
That's right.
Are you listening to me? That's the way you're going to live your life, according to what you believe. And so if you want to get positive about your life and understand why you're here in the first place and why you're still breathing, you have to get into the Word of God, because that's where the information is that we need to learn about this and get ready for what we've here for the first place. And I'll tell you, all of us have done things that didn't help us prepare for heaven. Is that fair to say? Yeah, all of us have done things that didn't prepare us for heaven. And some of us may still be doing that, but now is the time to put an end to that so we can start preparing for what we were created for in the first place. You thought you were just born to your parents and thrown out into the world just to do anything you wanted to, and I'm here to tell you that's right out of the pit of hell. That's not true. It's not true. Whatever you've gone through, that is not true. You know, it's very interesting that Jesus said there's two fathers in this world. And some people don't understand this. There are two fathers in this world. They ought to teach this in kindergarten. He said one is called the devil and one's called the Father in heaven. Two fathers. You can listen to either one of them. But you won't know which one you're listening to unless, number one, you know Christ, and number two, you're in the Word of God. You will never know who is speaking. And so how are you going to guide your life if you're not listening to the right one and you're taking a chance on listening to the wrong one? You are the only person that can glorify God in your special way. You are the only one. That's why we worship God. That's why we have music. That's why we worship. Because everybody's unique and God's just listening to all the different uniqueness. I'm not necessarily even talking about ability to sing. I'm just talking about ability to worship God. Everybody's unique. If you have several kids, you know this, they're all unique.
That's right.
They're not the same. I don't care if they're twins, they're still not the same. And they're unique. Each one of your kids is unique. Now you can do one of two things. You can teach them and grow them up in their uniqueness, or you can try to put them all in the same mold, and they're going to be distressed and depressed if you do that. And some of us were raised to be in some mold other than what God created us for. And so there has to come a time where you change that. And the way you change is, number one, accept Christ as your personal Savior. And when you do that and mean it, the Spirit comes in you and begins this process of changing you as you worship God, as you're in the Word of God, and as you become a mirror for God. That is the whole plan of God for your life. Become like Christ. Prepare for the wedding. That's it. I tell you, it's amazing sometimes. One time we were watching television. We happened to watch a program by this place that was selling wedding dresses. Everybody looked at that. If you don't think people are unique, watch that program. It's amazing. But anyway, the point is, well, it's getting late. I'm going to have to quit. I'm just getting to the good part. Well, I guess it'll have to be next time. But anyway, You see, we're all unique. We're going to take the Lord's Supper here in a minute. And you say, well, what's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal is. If you're a Christian, the big deal is God, number one, God said to do it. Two things he said to do, be baptized and take the Lord's Supper as often as you take it. That's what he said. And when he said you do that, it's a form of worship, but it's also an act of obedience, and it's also responding to your future husband in your unique way, you see. And that's what it is. And there's something about it. There's all kinds of supernatural things about it. I think sometimes people get healed taking it. Sometimes people certainly get strengthened because you're strengthened in your soul when you take the Lord's Supper. That's more important than anything else. It strengthens your soul in the Lord. And that's why you take it. So if there's ever a Sunday you don't want to miss, it's when you take the Lord's Supper because you want your soul strengthened for the next month or whatever. And that's why we do it. Now just remember who you are. I had no clue about this till I got saved. Why parents don't teach their children these things, I have no idea. I don't understand it. Because this is more important than life. You see. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Let's stand before the Lord. Musicians, come.